Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for 4 years we've been asking the French entrepreneurs who own one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, Franchise Interviews is celebrating our fourth year anniversary and 200th show with the legendary Michael Gerber. Dubbed the world's number one small business guru by Inc. magazine, Michael Gerber is the founder of the EMIT Worldwide, the coaching, training, and education firm he founded in 1977. To transform the development of small businesses. Today, Mr. Gerber's companies have become leading small businesses development firms in the world, having to help grow more than 70,000 businesses in over 145 countries. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Big mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs who want one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing great, Marty. All excited about today's show. It's been quite a ride, 4 years. Yeah.
Incredible. And it just seems like yesterday we started, you know. It just goes to show you that time truly does fly when you're having fun, you know.
Yeah, so, a couple of guys starting out doing a radio show with no experience, not doing well at all. And here we are 4 years later, and we're still not really that good at this.
It's amazing. We're still making mistakes, right? And it's 200 shows, though. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, if you said to me 4 years ago, you know, that we would still be doing this, I was hoping, you know.
Right.
Yeah, here we are, and hopefully we got another 4 years, you know, so it's going to be amazing. And I always love today's show, Don, because we always traditionally, it happens right around Thanksgiving, you know, the day
right
before Thanksgiving or a week before. So it's always fun, and I know you have some exciting plans for the holiday weekend as well.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of traveling, but be with all my family
right
and relatives, and the relatives, sometimes I only see them just a couple times a year. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely it's a nice day, and nice having a long weekend, and then we get into what's my most favorite time of the year. It's great for the kids with the holidays, and your son now getting a little older, maybe starts to really get
right
excited about Santa and
yeah
snow and all that. So it gets to be fun as we head to the end of the year.
Yeah, this is the first year. This has been the most exciting year, you know, because he's waiting for Santa Claus to come out of the chimney, you know, so
right
he keeps looking at it, you know, the fireplace, you know, so it's a lot of fun. Our last show, Don, we met with Stuart Vernon of America's actually swimming pool company, and America's swimming pool company, the Southeast most respected swimming pool maintenance and repair franchise. They were established in 2001 by Stuart, and the company was built on the belief that providing the highest quality pool maintenance with competitive pricing and high-level dependability will attract customers. This was a very interesting show for us because it was new for our category. Once again, we added another industry to our library. So I think we've probably hit, I would say, close to about 70 industries in the 4 years we've been doing the show, Don. And I know you were impressed with Stuart as well. Any thoughts on last week's show?
I was surprised by the high percentage of homes in the U.S. that have pools.
Mm-hmm.
And just
yes,
like why so many service franchises do well. I mean, any type of service that people need, there's a high probability it probably can be a franchise. So I'm not surprised that someone stepped up to try to bring some consistency and have a national service for pools. I mean, my family has a pool, and we know there's work involved with trying to maintain
right
it, and especially if it's seasonal, closing it, opening it, keeping it safe and sanitized and so forth. So I think I think that they'll definitely, I wouldn't be surprised if in a few years they had a lot more franchisees.
Yeah, they start expanding. Yeah, listen to this. They said since 2005, American Swimming Pool Company, they've expanded into 56 territories in the Southeast. They service over 100 cities across the country. At this point, the company manages over 40 million gallons of water per week. Could you imagine that? And renovates or remodels more than 250 pools each year. It's fantastic. And, you know, the great thing about this business, too, Don, and the great thing about franchising is a lot of times you don't have to have any experience to get into this type of business. you know, and I think that surprises people sometimes. When you hear about this type of franchise opportunity, you say, well, I've never actually owned a pool or, you know, I have no experience in this particular industry. That's okay. You know, that it's, and sometimes, and probably in many instances, these usually make the best franchisees, don't they? The ones that have no experience, because you can truly train them. You know, there's no bad habits, you know, from like a previous job or industry. So, yeah, I was impressed. It was a great entrepreneurial story. He was a true entrepreneur. And, of course, I can see why he became a franchise. He really had this business systematized. So I'd like to keep our eye on them, you know, and, again, watch them grow and, yeah, if they continue to do so, we have them back in 2011.
Definitely. You
know, so, yeah, so it's good. So what do we got going on today? I know today's a pretty exciting show for us, isn't it?
I really forgot who the guest was. No, we're having on.
You can never forget. We've been talking about it for weeks.
You know, legendary Michael Gerber and all his philosophies and books and success, and so excited to have him on. He's out in California. Hopefully he's up right now. And, you know, I'd only planned on working today. You know, the day before holiday, long weekend, you like to take an hour or two off. I have a feeling after having him on, I'm probably going to work till like past normal hours. He gets you so
motivated. Very motivational, isn't he? He's just incredible to talk to, you know, and he's just such an inspiration. I guess Michael's probably, you know, I know he's in his 70s now, but, you know, and I've been following his career for a long time, and he just, I hope when I'm his age, I can be doing the same thing. You know, he really is.
And there's very few people, Mari, that have not heard of him. When I mentioned, hey, we're having him on the show, or talking about the radio show in the past, who are some of the guests or type of shows you've had on, they're always pretty impressed and always know who Michael Gerber is.
What do you think it feels like having helped more than 70,000 businesses in over 145 countries? What does that feel like? You know, I mean, it's...
Right. I mean, it must be a great feeling knowing that you've helped so many people to improve their lives, to improve their businesses, to have people, to, you know, to motivate people to put together goals and have a short and long-term goal, life goals, just not business.
Yeah, the E-Myth continues to sell, doesn't it? It's amazing. I think it was still on like the bestseller list on the New York Times. I know he's being honored for all that stuff, and he's got In the Dreaming Room, and Michael just keeps on going with coming out with new things, you know. So it really is amazing. What amazes me the most is we've done 200 shows, and the highest rated show is Michael Gerber, and then the second highest rated show is Michael Gerber. We've had him on twice, so you can kind of guess what's going to be the third highest rated show. You know, it is incredible. You know, and he is related to franchising. I mean, I can't tell you how many times he's been mentioned on our show in 4 years. I mean, it was just a couple of weeks ago. He said he was a student of Michael Gerber.
Right.
So I don't even know if he realizes sometimes the impact that he's had. I guess he does on the whole franchise community, you know. So it really is amazing. So it's incredible. So, we had a bunch of articles that I wanted to get to last week, and we didn't get to. I'm hoping we can try to hit some of them today because you had some interesting things to discuss, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we started Julie Bennett, our friend who's been on the show, writes for many magazines and newspapers, involved with Franchise Times Magazine. She wrote Franchising Year in Review, Wall Street Journal. And, you know, basically it starts out franchising as a business model is having a very good year. I want to pick up where it says other franchise companies have acquired new owners. After 2 years of slow merger and acquisition activity, private equity money is no longer sitting on the sidelines. And this year saw many concepts, mostly in the restaurant sector, change hands. In the largest transaction, New York-based 3G Capital purchased Burger King. And it's over 12,000 franchises worldwide for about $4 billion. Apollo Management, also of New York, spent $694 million for CKE Restaurants, parent of the over 1,200-unit Carl's Jr. Burger chain and a 1,900-unit Hardee's. And Roark Capital Group of Atlanta purchased Wingstop with 460 restaurants serving 9 flavors of chicken wings, signed an agreement to buy Auntie Anne's Pretzels. They have another over 1,000 stores, Marty. And Roark, who I believe we've had on the show. They have 13 franchise brands, among them Batteries Plus, Carvel, Primrose School, Fast
right.
Signs, is looking for more. So I'm sure we'll be having them on again. They just have so many concepts. And the managing director, Steve Romanello, says we're long-term investors. They like the franchise model. They're looking for more concepts. Franchisees have acquired companies like the possibilities investors bring to the table. Larry Hodge of California has been a franchisee of Vancouver, Washington-based Papa Murphy's, a take-home-and-bake pizza concept with 1,200 units, U.S. and Canada, for 21 years, and now owns 62 of those units. It's amazing
wow.
in franchising how it can really create millionaires. This guy owning 62 Papa Murphy's. He says, we're hoping our new owner, Lee Equity Partners, can create access to capital for us so Papa Murphy's franchisees can continue to expand.
That's amazing, 62. I mean, how do you even do that? You know, I mean, and again, we've had a lot of guests, you know, that are similar. But, I mean, 62, Don, I mean, that's incredible. It's truly like thinking big, isn't it? You know, I mean, to
right.
think beyond, like, the one franchise unit, you know? I mean, go for
well, that's
10,
what we should try to do more of
for
this next year. Have more multi-unit
mm-hmm.
owners on the show, franchisees who got started and
mm-hmm.
probably felt good about, you know, starting up as a franchise, higher chance of success. I'm sure many of them didn't think they'd end up owning 50, 100 of
right.
Of multiple brands, too. We'll definitely have a few shows
mm-hmm.
with that type of person on to for the
yeah,
franchisee
like
starting out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The article goes on, the newly passed Small Business Jobs Bill also provides a source of capital, $30 billion in federal money that the nation's 8,000 community banks can lend to small business owners. As additional incentive, the interest banks pay for the money begins at 5% but drops to zero as they increase their small business lending. Although 60% of all small business loans now come from community banks, most local lenders don't have experiences with franchises, says Mr. Johnson of Frandata, our friend Daryl. To help new franchisees
right.
obtain startup loans and existing operators to expand, franchisers must prove that their franchise systems are successful. So that's something, being in franchise financing for over 10 years, is something lenders are obviously looking at more, the history and track record of a franchise system. It's all not just based on the strength of the borrower or franchisee.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, lenders have always done that, looked at the concept, but they're putting more emphasis on it. Obviously, lending's tighter.
Right.
They're looking at the background and work history of that franchisee. You know, lenders want to lower their risk, make sure they're lending with a strong concept that's been around a while.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a newer concept, maybe just have to have a stronger franchisee, financially is what it boils down to.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of franchises, I mean, throughout the year, you know, coming up with some clever concepts to help prospective franchisees become actual franchisees, haven't we? You know, whether it's
right.
dropping the franchise fee or reducing the royalty. We've seen some great deals as far as new franchisees getting some killer leases, you know. So there have been some other ways around it as well, too. So that's an interesting point.
Right. All kinds of creative ways to
right.
franchisors to keep their expansion going, incentives for the franchisees. And a lot of times it's worked. And on that note, I mean, Daryl Johnson of Frandata, they even provide what's called a bank credit report that a franchisor can order to have a lender, you know, examine their franchise system in detail based on their units that have opened. And a lot of times that can reinforce to a lender the strength of that franchise system. Maybe they had a few defaults and franchisees who've left the system, but maybe there's an explanation for that. Things like
mm-hmm.
that go into the bank credit report. I know many franchisors have ordered that. Sometimes it can help a lender to approve a franchisee. So that's going on the other side of just what a franchise system can do to try to add more franchisees and help a franchisee who is trying to obtain financing. The article
right.
goes on, Learning RX, a Colorado Springs, Colorado-based franchisor of training programs for children and adults with learning problems, provided detailed financial information to the community bank in Minnesota, where franchisee Rich Frieder obtained loans to obtain two franchises during the height of the recession. He says a local branch of Marshall and Isley Bank loaned him 135,000, open a Learning RX center in Minnesota, and 140,000 for a second center in a different location. To be approved by a community bank, he says, you must look professional and sell yourself as well as your business idea. You have to be able to explain the profit and loss side of the franchise you want to buy and understand its key business levers. If a loan officer asks you what you'll do if something goes wrong, be ready to answer those questions and make sure the salary you project for yourself is something you can live on. Even with help from their franchisor, some franchisees are struggling in the economic downturn, Frandatus, Mr. Johnson says. He started seeing more franchise units sold to stronger operators in 2010 and expects the trend to continue for the next few years. As in the housing market, in many sectors, it's a good time to buy an existing franchise at a discount, he says.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of that too, Marty. Existing franchisees, when they expand, they'll maybe not start up a new one. They'll buy another existing
one in
their location. You know, whether it's doing good or bad, there's options and ways to expand that way as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think we've spoken enough. We haven't had enough guests. And that's something else, you know, as you're reading these articles, Don, I'm already thinking of 2011, you know, to kind of bring something different to the table. And those are interesting shows, aren't they? You know, to find a franchisee that has actually done that, bought an existing franchise, you know.
Right.
As a way of growing, you know, again, you want to continue to grow.
Right. This September, David Hirsch, for example, bought a Fast Signs from a franchisee in Tucson, Arizona, who was going to close the doors and walk away, he says. I was able to buy it at a good price and gain the database of 10,000 customer names, all the equipment and inventory I needed, and good employees. Clint Bell, a third-generation owner of a Campgrounds of America franchise in San Diego, had some nasty surprises when he bought a struggling franchise near the Grand Canyon. Wouldn't that be great, own a campground near the Grand Canyon? The previous owner had not reinvested in infrastructure, and we had to invest almost $500,000 to install a new green sewer system, he says. The franchisor helped them through the renovations and helped all the franchisees during the recession by offering new marketing programs and service ideas.
Wow.
So Julie had a nice overview on the industry and a couple side stories about what's going on. And there's so much inconsistency with the economy. Still times are tough. But as we've discussed in the past, that can create opportunities during tough times for expansion, whether it be getting a better leased location because landlords are being flexible and people get nice locations or a low rate when they're getting loans, or unfortunately if someone closes, maybe that's a good way to get some equipment at an inexpensive price, or, you know, all kinds of things are going on.
Yeah, and there are some killer locations out there right now. And Gary was saying that a couple weeks ago when we were talking about you know, Arthur Treacher's, you know, and their family of franchise concepts. There's some amazing locations out there. They may not be available in 2 years, you know. So, you know, good location can sometimes overcome, say, bad marketing, you know. So,
it's right.
An interesting point.
Here's something, Marty, through Entrepreneur Magazine, 6 startup-friendly industries. These businesses are booming despite the gloomy economy. And it goes on. An individual, Rami Weiss, saw opportunity despite the gloomy economy. He says he enjoyed low startup cost and quick profitability 2 years ago when launching a business called Boomerator, a networking site where baby boomers can exchange advice on topics ranging from retirement savings to outings for grandkids.
Wow.
To get right into some of the industries which are doing pretty well, entrepreneurs providing landscaping services can start small and dream big with startup costs as low as $1,000 and ample franchise opportunities. Brian Kurtz spent roughly $10,000 for a trailer and other small equipment when he founded his company in Maryland in 2007, relying on a used truck and other gear to keep costs low. The business was cash flow positive within a year. He says, I would occasionally have to tell people I couldn't do the job because I didn't have the necessary equipment. There are several franchises in that industry, Marty. Designers catering to budget-minded consumers will likely find success in fashion design services, a field that requires as little as $5,000 for startup costs. The founders of Loden Dager have found the market extremely receptive to their functional, well-tailored menswear, says Paul Marlowe, who launched the business with three partners in 06. Says much of the company's $250,000 in startup costs stemmed from immediate demand from retailers. The response was so positive that cost increased, but sales did too. I wish we would have known the sheer amounts of access to capital we would need just to make the business run smoothly. Entrepreneurs in community food services will find a market hungry for affordable meals with startup costs of only $500 to $1,000. Excellent growth prospects for 2011. One person has started up a business, Money Revolution Food, now employs 125 people, delivers over 20,000 fresh, healthy meals per day to public schools in the San Francisco and L.A., plans to expand to other cities. Another industry, e-commerce and online auctions, along with other web-based businesses, represent the way of the future. Anticipates growth in the industry through 2015 and startup costs as low as $12,000. This is interesting. I didn't realize when I first read this article that these are some they're forecasting some industries where people can get into, but also that they're low cost, which is always nice.
There are some interesting opportunities out there. Because, again, you know, a lot of the franchises that we do have on the show, I mean, again, some of them are a pretty significant investment, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are far from in that area. So, yeah, no, it's true. I mean, there's a nice mix. And these aren't franchises that we're talking about, Don, are they?
We're talking industries in general, but in all these industries, there's, you know, there's plenty of franchises for these industries. They next talk about a tutoring company and other education services. We know there's several franchises, strong ones in education.
Yeah, we had them on the show too. Yeah,
children's tutoring. In 2006, William Fowler, who I'm starting to know, co-founded Brain Balance Centers, which works with children with developmental learning disorders. Spending roughly $100,000 to develop a business plan to fine-tune the center's unique curriculum, says his partner, Dr. Robert Murillo. Dr. Robert Melillo was already working with children when they launched, which provided immediate cash flow. Fowler says connections within the education world and a cadre of extremely well-trained employees have helped the company build a total, I think they're up to now, over 20 Brain Balance Centers throughout the United States. There's another franchise, interesting, helping young children with learning disabilities, and the franchise is going very well, building nationwide. Last thing, Marty, is businesses in the elderly and disabled services industry can carry hefty startup costs.
Surprise.
But we've had several franchisors in the senior care model.
Yeah,
so
I think
we've
had five, Don, yeah.
Those are a few that are interesting for people to consider.
Great. Good topics. Well, I see our guest Michael has called in, Don. So why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Great Michael Gerber.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs who want one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today, Franchise Interviews is celebrating our fourth year anniversary and 200th show with the legendary Michael Gerber. Dubbed the world's number one small business guru by Inc. magazine, Michael Gerber is the founder of the EMIT Worldwide, a coaching, training, and education firm founded in 1977. Good morning, Michael. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Good morning, and how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, Michael. Michael, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, who I think you might remember.
Yes,
yeah,
how
hey,
are
Michael.
You?
I appreciate you coming on. I guess that's a tough name to forget, right, Don Johnson?
Yeah, sure. It's probably tough for you to forget, too.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Michael, I know it's a day early, but how often do you get a chance to say Happy Thanksgiving to Michael Gerber? So, again, Happy Thanksgiving from Don and myself. You know, we're, again, big fans of the show. I wanted to congratulate you. This is the fifth anniversary for the Dreaming Room. And for our new listeners, Michael, can you tell them about the Dreaming Room and what's the next phase of the Dreaming Room? Sounds like you're
sure.
moving to another level now.
Well, the Dreaming Room is what I call an entrepreneurial incubator, but not for the business, but for the entrepreneur himself. It's a place that an individual comes to get unstuck and to begin to discover what they're really here for. In other words, what big thing are they really here to do? What big opportunity are they really here to create? Not pursue, as in a franchise, as you've been talking about, but in creating their own enterprise, whether it be a franchise, whether it be a license, whether it be a coaching company, whether it be a service of whatever sort. And they learn how to do that, how to awaken the entrepreneur within themselves in the Dreaming Room. That was the purpose of it. That's why I held the first Dreaming Room in December 2005, and we are now going on to replicating me doing it by certifying, licensing others to become Dreaming Room facilitators.
That's fantastic. What's been one of the most interesting things that's happened to you in the 5 years of doing the Dreaming Room sessions, Michael? I mean, I'm sure you have hundreds of stories, but to narrow it down to one will be difficult. But
that's wonderful. Well, let me say very, very simply, and I can't narrow it down to one. I could if I really gave some thought to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the most astonishing thing about it is how stuck people are without even realizing they are.
Right.
How completely caught up people are in the pictures they've created for themselves, the model that they've they build for themselves, the beliefs they've got about what a business is, what a business isn't, who they are, what they want to do, what they can do, what they can't do, and so forth and so on. I mean, it's just astonishing. I have, you know, incredibly bright people come to the Dreaming Room and walk away stunned that they'd never truly seen themselves before or seen the opportunities that wake up for them in the dreaming room. So it's a process, and the process is always surprising. It's always remarkable. It's never predictable. I don't know any of these people before they get there. I don't do any due diligence before they come there. I don't get any data or information about them before they walk into the dreaming room. Whatever's going to happen happens there intuitively and remarkably, very, very brilliantly. It's just a stunning, stunning experience. Never done anything like it before, and I never imagined that I'd be doing it today.
Now, Michael, you have a lot of people with a lot of emotion, especially the last couple of years with the economy and this great recession. Has it been even tougher? I mean, people who are out of work have maybe lost confidence in our leadership and or in business. They've been beaten down in general. I mean, it's hard to work on your end or even themselves to get back up on that pedestal, so to speak. I mean, how has the rough economy affected in the dreaming room?
Well, it's had a huge impact, a hugely negative impact. We don't really realize how we take for granted what we assume is available to us out here in the world. Nobody would have expected that, for example, 50,000 and more homes would be foreclosed in California alone in
right.
1 year. I mean, nobody could have imagined that. Nobody would have imagined that the banks would tighten down their lending practices so much so that it doesn't even matter that you have great credit. It doesn't matter what your banking or your financial history has been. They just don't want to talk. And it's a stunning thing. So, yeah, it has a hugely negative impact on somebody's ability to let go and begin to imagine creating something stunning that they've never created before when all of these obstacles are sitting there in the way.
Right. I mean, I've been in franchising over 10 years, Michael, in the financing arena. I've just talked to so many people who've had successful businesses, who are used to having success, and now all of a sudden it was all, I guess, lost. They're back to the basics, lost their business, have to go out and get a job, stuff they didn't think they'd have to do. You know, so really these people have to be re-energized. People sort of have to find themselves again. I'm sure there's a lot of joy in going through this process within the dreaming room. Once they find it, they get re-motivated again. Sure, on your end, it's great to see.
Well, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible, and I believe it's really the key thing that has to happen, not only in our country, but around the world, because obviously this is not just a United States of America problem. It's a worldwide problem, and it has this profoundly negative impact on the expectations and the beliefs of people, that they suddenly realize that they can't go and get what they thought they could go and get. And as I said, what they've done and their experiences and their successes are suddenly all put into question. And so it's just not easy. It's hard, very, very hard.
Right.
And it's hard even to imagine that they could come to a place for 3 days and expect to walk out of it any different than when they walked in. They do, of course, but it's impossible to really tell them that and expect that they will believe it. So they got to sort of come with the faith that because I've done what I've done over the years that I've done it, that I know something that I can be able to share with them in the dreaming room that will give them something they don't have. So it's a leap of faith.
Right. That's a good way to put that.
Right.
And you know, obviously whether someone's up or down, always, and we talked about this the last time you're on, I remember, Michael, that your past successful books, the E-Myth books, always a good reference point whether you're doing well or struggling. And these books just keep selling, keep going. What's been on the small business bestseller list for more than 10 consecutive years, been translated to 29 languages. It's just incredible. This whole journey. And Marty, I understand in a few weeks you're going to be getting a Lifetime Authors Achievement Award in New York City, which is right around the time, it's basically the 25-year anniversary of the E-Myth. That's it's pretty incredible. Talk about
it's
that
crazy.
A little bit, Michael.
Well, it's called the Quill Award.
Yeah.
It's the first time it's ever been given. I'm the first author ever to receive it. I feel extraordinary about it. It's really quite an acknowledgement. Of course, the books have done stunningly well, and they're leading into the other venture that we talked about a bit, called Michael E. Gerber Partners, the first co-authored E-Myth book. Was published in June this year. The E-Myth Attorney, Why Most Legal Practices Don't Work and What to Do About It. I have now 9 more books getting ready to be published this year, in 2011. The E-Myth Financial Advisor, the E-Myth Accountant, the E-Myth Optometrist, the E-Myth Rainmaker, the E-Myth Dentist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And these are co-authors or individuals, entrepreneurs, who have taken the E-Myth and applied it to the development of their particular market and the development of their particular practice, and just done a stunningly effective job of it. And they're ready now to grow. And so this whole process will actually be 310 vertical market E-Myth books representing the 310 major vertical markets, written by me and co-authored by experts in each of those markets, and taking the message out to every single individual doing anything that they are doing today that says you can excel. You can absolutely excel, and there's a way to do it. And we demonstrate it and demonstrate it and demonstrate it and demonstrate it. So there's going to be an E-Myth franchisee, an E-Myth franchisor. There's going to be a whole host of exciting books to show how the E-Myth, by going to work on your business rather than in it, can become one of the top and most excellent of your particular brand and your particular industry and your particular market.
And I'm sure they'll become must-reads for people in those individual industries, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was recently asked, Michael, what was my favorite book, and you know I'm a fan of the E-Myth, but Awakening the Entrepreneur, I just thought that was a wonderful book. I think that's one of those must-reads as well, because that would precede the E-Myth, doesn't it?
Yep. Well, I love that book, and I love every one of them. Of course, I never read them after I write them, but I love them while I was writing them. But it's an important book. In fact, we're beginning a conversation with PBS to do a PBS special on Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, and the work that we're doing with Origination, with the Dreaming Room, and with the new venture development program I'm building to start truly extraordinary small businesses around the world. So, you know, with E-Myth, we've been fixing broken businesses for over 35 years. And what I've decided now is really my next calling is, rather than fixing broken businesses, it's to start truly remarkable new businesses in a way that they should have been started in the first place.
Right.
So that's what the Dreaming Room does. That's what Origination does. That's what Michael E. Gerber Partners is all about. That's what everything that I'm focused on today is all about. And Awakening the Entrepreneur Within really, really speaks to the spirit of entrepreneurship and the Dreaming Room and this entire segment of the marketplace that needs to be dealt with.
Going back to this rough economy, Michael, this is really a new generation of people starting up their own business. People have been laid off, and they don't want to go back to their corporate job, or they simply just can't get a job. So what do? A lot end up trying to start up their own business and obviously go into franchising. And, for many of those people who are listening right now, who and a lot, I'm sure, have the mentality that I'm going to buy a franchise, I'm going to buy a job and work the job. That's really not the right way to go about it. Anybody who goes into business should be thinking big and should be thinking multiple locations as really the best way to start up a business. You know, maybe talk about that because it ties in so much to your whole philosophy with the E-Myth.
Well, absolutely. I'm saying before anybody would buy a business opportunity or a franchise, they have to really go inside to discover more closely, more clearly, what is it, in fact, they're really looking for? I mean, what do they really wish to do? That's what happens in the dreaming room. We go way, way, way back to the beginning rather than start talking about a business, start talking about a venture, start talking about a franchise or a business opportunity or starting your own business. What we're really saying is you got to awaken the entrepreneur within. You got to have a dream. You have to have a vision. You have to have a purpose. You have to have a mission. And whatever business you're going to go into has to serve that dream, fulfill it, serve that vision, truly, truly resonate to that purpose and fulfill that mission. And if you don't understand what those words mean in the context of the dreaming room and the context of entrepreneurship, then you're going to be disappointed. Most extraordinary individuals who go into, who buy a franchise, and you know this as well as I, are rarely entrepreneurs. They're exquisite when they are truly successful, exquisite managers. They're taking somebody else's idea, somebody else's dream, somebody else's vision, purpose, and mission, resonating with it, and saying, I would love to operate that business. I would love to replicate that business. I would love to grow that business. So, for example, we're talking to a prospective Michael E. Gerber partner in New York. It's a company that owns 150 franchise outlets. So they're not the franchisor, they're the franchisee, but they have grown it exponentially. And they've grown it because they approached it in a significantly different way than so many franchisees do. They truly understand their role. They truly understand the power of the system. They truly understand what they want and why they want it, and have found the dream, vision, purpose, and mission in a business that's already been created, that in fact they can then simply exercise with due diligence the development of. So it's very, very exciting. Say to anybody listening into you now that if you're thinking about a franchise, if you own a franchise, if you truly wish to expand beyond what you know today, then you have to come to the Dreaming Room. I'm doing my very last personally led Dreaming Room on December 9th, 10th, and 11th in Carlsbad, California.
Yeah.
And I invite anybody and everybody who wants to know about that to come to my website, www.michaelegerber.com/events. They'll find it there. Or just call us at 760-752-1812. And let me show you what happens in a dreaming room and why it's such a significant experience.
We'll have to put that all on our website, and also.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say to Michael, but I was going to say, does that become emotional for you, Michael, as you do your, that's your last dreaming room session, or does it? I guess it excites you that it's moving now to the next level.
Well, it's moving to the next level. We now have dreaming room facilitators in Mexico, in Colombia, in South Africa, in Denmark, in Sweden, in Japan, in Australia, in British Columbia. Some throughout the United States. So we have now created the turnkey system so that it doesn't depend upon me. It depends upon the system that a dreaming room facilitator who is trained to utilize the system as a great franchisee would be trained to truly have this profound impact. We've also changed it from an intensive, which is what I've done, 2.5 days, to a 12-week course, one night a week. So over 12 weeks, somebody will discover what their dream is, what their vision is, what their purpose is, what their mission is. And, of course, it's significantly less expensive, and it gives them an opportunity to work through the problems and the opportunities and the ideas and the resistance that comes up over time as they begin this process. But the process is absolutely brilliant, and it's absolutely extraordinary the impact it has on somebody who's really not clear who they are, what they want to do, and why they want to do it.
Yeah, I like, Michael, how you've spread that out. It gives people time to think about the strategies and everything that you're having them try to learn about themselves and what they want to do and their goals and dreams and
absolutely.
Mission and everything. I think that was interesting, moving that to that type of venue.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And in fact, the Japanese licensee is very excited about starting what we call Entrepreneur School. And we see it beginning in Japan on the street at night, a place that people who want to start a business but don't know how or have a business that isn't going anywhere can go to truly awaken the entrepreneur within them. And it's an extension of the Dreaming Room. Of course, the first thing they'll do is deliver the Dreaming Room, but then go into the new venture development process. How do you do that? We talk about it in four stages. The first is leap, the second is affirm, the third is launch, and the fourth is grow. So it's leap, affirm, launch, and grow. And those four stages are really four cycles of evolution of a new company. We're saying also that anybody can start a new company at home. Even if they've got a job, they can do it at night. All of the development of the systems that have to be developed, the positioning that has to be developed, the capability to generate interest, the capability of converting that interest into a paying client, all of that can be learned, and all of that can be learned at a very, very, very small, a very, very micro level, to practice, to practice, to practice, to perfection, to take it through the stages of the cycles that it is going to go through. And as you do that, growing it from a practice to a business to an enterprise. So all of this is all in the works and obviously very, very exciting.
And crucial for someone to learn, because more than ever, there's always going to be competition, whether you're starting a franchise or non-franchise, but especially with the franchise, you have that training and ongoing support, but doesn't mean you're going to be successful. You have to be able to know yourself and have an overall strategy. Do other things than just what the franchisor is telling you as far as your marketing and growing your business.
Oh, absolutely. And you've learned, you know this, as anybody who's been in business for any length of time knows it. Normally or most often has a negative impact on the growth of the business has less to do with the business model, presuming the business model is in place, than it has to do with the personal characteristics of the individual who's running that business. Fear of growth, inability to communicate directly, inability to tell someone what must be done and why it must be done, inability to hold people to standards, all of these personal skills that are absolutely essential. I call them actually the five essential skills of extraordinary people, which are concentration, discrimination, organization, innovation, and communication. So essentially, every single one of us have to develop the mastery of ourselves, forget about the business, if we're ever going to be able to master the business. And so most failure comes from the fact that we haven't mastered ourselves. We haven't truly understood or taken stock of who we are and what we know how to do, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, and how to parlay all of that into a process of development that goes beyond personal growth, but essentially is a absolutely equivalent part of business growth. Because without that, it ain't going to happen.
Marty, Michael's given us a treasure chest of great quotes.
You should see my notes. So yeah, they got a lot of them.
I feel like I'm in college again.
There you go. You see, I'm a treasure trove of great quotes.
Well, Michael, you had a great quote. I'm sure you remember this. You said people don't fail because they think too big. People fail because they think too small. And it's interesting in the 4 years that Don and I have been doing the show, how many new franchisees, they're content with just owning one unit. You know, and I'm always surprised about that they never thought about why not two, why not 10, why not 50. We were actually referencing a story on segment one, Don. You know, and I'm always surprised about that. I think that's something that the Dreaming Room also brings out, is to think big, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And to understand what it means when I say think big. You know, think big sounds mm-hmm. like motivating people to
mm-hmm.
do something that they can do. You can do it, the little engine who could. That's not it at all. It's the fact
True.
Of the matter is we're here to grow. If we're not growing, we're dying.
Right.
And effectively, if I were to simply reside in what I've already proven myself to be, my expertise to be, my capability as an author, my ability to commit, if I were to simply reside in that place, in that past, I'm through. I'm dead.
True.
I'm done.
Right.
There's too much to life to simply reside there and stay there and be there and feel that I've arrived. Truth is, I've never felt that I've arrived. I'm in process, just as you are. And I'm going on 75. So understand when I say that, I look at people, young people, who, as you said, are satisfied with the one business. It's impossible to imagine how anybody could be satisfied with the one business if they believe in that business. If they believe in that business, they want to bring it to more and more and more people. And the only way they're going to bring it to more and more people is to go more and more places. But the terror of that, meaning I don't want to upset the cart, I don't want to do something that'll threaten what I already have, you can see they begin to grasp to try to hold on to that success because they truly don't believe it'll last. And they don't believe it'll last because it's so uncommon for them. They've never had anything that worked this well. They've never been able to do anything that produced this well. So it's like, don't rock the boat, Murray. I mean, you're lucky that you've got what you've got. You can't be lucky a second time. Well, the truth is, it has nothing to do with luck. It has to do with, one, a system, two, energy and laws of the universe we have no understanding of, and here we are, ready to grow. That's the very, very significant part of it. So how do I prepare myself to be able to take those steps to grow beyond where I am? Well, that's what you need to learn how to do. Concentration, discrimination, organization, innovation, communication. The five essential skills. We have to study. We have to learn. We have to develop. We have to become someone we're not. Or even more appropriately, we have to truly rise up to become the someone we absolutely are.
Don and I were a little nervous, Michael, when we heard that you were coming out with a radio show, particularly that it was on the same time slot as we were on.
I was saying, wait a second. You've got me on an interview. I'm doing a radio show.
There you go. I know.
Yeah.
But I think many of our listeners would be interested to know that you have a radio show. Can you talk a little bit about that? I was listening to the show yesterday, by the way. There was a caller that called in. His name was Robert, and he was talking about how his people are resisting the system, and he can't get his people to do it. And I'm intrigued by the show, so I'm a fan, by the way, just so you know. I'm always listening.
Okay.
But can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, the radio show is kind of it's one of those weird things that I do and I've always done. I turned around to a guy here who is actually no longer here. I don't know whether that speaks to the problem or not. I said, listen, I'm going to do a radio show. And he said, oh, well, when, how are you going to do that? I said, I'm going to do that in 2 weeks. So I want to start a radio show in 2 weeks. Your job is to get me on the air. He said, well, how am I supposed to do that? I said, that's your problem. But I want to start on March 15th. Now, this was 2 weeks prior to March 15th,
yes.
2010. And, of course, Blog Talk Radio came up. And, of course, we were on the air on March 15th. And he said, so we got to produce this. I said, produce it. Forget it. I'm doing an hour. I'm doing an hour every morning from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock California time. What's to produce? I'll get on and I'll do whatever I do. And so that's all I've done. I've gotten on and done whatever I've done. There's been absolutely no thought about it. There's been no organization of it. There's been no, I mean, come on. I'm not competition at all. Some days I get on and just meditate. So you don't have to be concerned about what Gerber's doing on his radio show. Nobody else
that's
is.
Okay. It's a great show though. I love the introduction with the music it's fantastic. It's
thank you very much.
So where do you go
so
now?
So one day I'm going to do a syndicated show, and all I'm doing right now is preparing for it.
Right. It's amazing.
And anybody who wants to call, they got to call and say I got a problem, and I solve their problem. That's what happened.
Yeah, like the caller yesterday, and I think you did a great job handling that too. I think you had a comprehension of what to do after speaking to you, you know, so it's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information, Michael? I know you plugged a couple of the websites, but if you could say them again, maybe.
Really simple. Go to www.michaelegerber.com, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-E, Gerber, G-E-R-B-E-R.com, and our new website should have gone up last night. Now, it might not have. I haven't checked. But you'll find just a plethora of stuff to look at, to engage in, to play with, to think about, et cetera, and so forth. And that's a lot of fun.
That's all.
That's it. That's easy.
That's great. And I want to thank you again, Michael. It is truly an honor for Don and I both to speak to you and again, wish you a happy Thanksgiving, you and your family.
And you as well.
We'd love to have you back. Thank you so much. We'd love to have you back in 2011. And Don and I are going to continue to listen to the radio show, by the way.
You're terrific.
But don't meditate too much,
thanks,
Michael.
Guys.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, guys. Very happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
That's amazing, isn't it, Don?
I hope I can go back and read all my notes.
I was doing writing down everything, you know, because the quotes that he just comes out with are fantastic, and there's going to be a bunch that are going into our great quotes in franchising, you know, so I feel like a student in a classroom when I'm listening to him, you know, so...
I feel like every time I'm on, after the show, I should take out my credit card, give him a credit card number.
You just feel so motivated, though, don't you? You know, it's fantastic, so... That's great. So I want to thank you, Don. The show is going to continue on. We're going to do some great quotes in franchising. We're going to take some commercial breaks and get situated again. And we're going to play some great quotes in franchising from some previous guests that got some more to say. And
200 shows. 200.
Great job. Four years, 200 shows. Can you imagine that? So let's do another 4 years. You know, just keep thinking big. You know, let's take it to.
Right.
Television, cable, and all that other stuff, as Michael said. You know, don't you feel so pumped up now?
Oh, I'm working till 7 p.m.
Same here. So good job, Don. And again, thanks to our listeners. And we're going to take some quick commercial break. Thanks, Don.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs of all one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. But if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And that was fantastic, meeting with the legendary Michael Gerber, and we really got some great quotes there. This segment now, you're going to hear some great quotes in franchising that we've accumulated over the last 4 years of doing the show. We're going to give you two today, one's from Carol Mercurio, who is a franchise consultant, and also George Native. And the name George Native rings a bell. He is the founder of Boston Market. So why don't we start off playing Carol's, and then we'll go right into George, and we'll end the show. And Don and I want to thank everyone for listening to the show for 4 years. It's been a truly amazing experience. We have listeners now from all over the world, and we appreciate all the emails and everything like that. It's just been wonderful working with everyone. So why don't we do this? We'll bring in Carol, and again, have a great Thanksgiving, everyone, and we'll see you again next week for another great show. Here's Carol.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Diamond Financial Services. And Diamond Financial is the nation's number one source for business loans with over 50 years of combined experience. Financing solutions can be applied to business acquisitions, franchise purchasing or startups, building and leasehold improvements or expansions, equipment purchases, debt restructuring, working capital, franchise fees, or buying out of partners. Today's great quote in franchising comes from Carol Mercurio of Matchpoint. And Carol had excellent advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. And one of the things that they should consider is image. Listen to what Carol said. I thought it was brilliant.
I want to talk a little bit about status.
It's one of my favorites because, you know, a lot of the franchising concepts are not high status.
Right.
You know, if you look at some of these categories, and then there's others, you know, where you'll find there's more of an executive model. And that becomes an issue with people, depending on what their background and experience is, and what are you willing to give up to have a business on your own, and how important is status to you? And the way I break it down is, if you were at a neighbor's for dinner, and somebody asked you what you did for a living, how important is your answer?
That's interesting.
And for some people, it's very important. And when you go through this process with a lot of people, it really comes down to what's more important, what's on your business card or what's on your deposit slip.
Right.
And, you know, for, I always use the example of, you know, well, actually, I would say the most common answer to things that people wouldn't do that are relative to status is I wouldn't pick up garbage.
Right.
Which is, it's kind of an interesting answer, because if you look at that industry of the trash industry or garbage industry, there isn't probably one person out there that doesn't have trash.
Exactly.
Or doesn't know somebody that has trash.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, you have to think about what are you willing to do if the industry is probably one of the biggest and best industries that everybody needs, it's recession-resistant, internet-proof, that would be trash. And, of course, I always throw this little bit of humor into this equation here that my husband's in the trash business and has been for many, many years. And I live in New Jersey with an Italian last name, so I don't suppose.
There you go, stereotype.
You know, be very careful how you deal with me. But, of
That's
course, if they
funny.
Don't get that humor, it's not very funny. But what you really want to think about is, you know, how do you feel about negotiating deals with CEOs or presidents of companies? Or are you okay with dealing with, you know, the everyday consumer or dealing directly to the consumer? Or should it be business to business? Because there are different franchises that fit into those categories. Or even if you look at retail, so that it may not be visible to the consumer, but there are retail businesses that will do business to business, deal with other business owners, as well as the consumer, which is a major plus because you have two ends of dealing with business rather than being limited to one. But you really have to determine, you know, what is it? If you want a high-status business, then that will put me in a direction that would be very different than a Dunkin' Donuts, for example.
Right.
Although some people would put some of these food concepts into high status. I'm not sure why, but I do believe that people's perception of food is a higher status.
That's interesting.
But there are certainly a lot of things you can do that go outside food that, you know, you can be a consultant in different areas that would be more executive-type models. Or with a lot of the franchises, if you're looking for an executive-type model, it may be in a traditional type of business, but you become the manager of that business as opposed to getting your hands dirty every day. So you can still develop that into more of an executive model.
Right.
And, you know, what kind of products or services do you want to offer your public? Because that may limit some of the things that you look at if you shy away from certain industries.
Interesting.
But it is something that you really want to think about, you know, how important is status? And, you know, I always use the household cleaning industry as an example of that as well. You know, it's a very big business today. You know, it's a business that's changed through the years because of dual-income families, that it almost becomes a necessity rather than a luxury. But a lot of people will be embarrassed to say that I clean toilets for a living.
Right, right.
And the perfect example in that industry, when you look at the business model, it's not about cleaning toilets at all because that's not what you do.
Right.
It's about sales, marketing, and management.
Exactly.
So, again, you're looking at what is the business model itself. So put the industry aside. Look at the model and how is that going to work in your community.
Such a good question, though, Carol.
It
people
really is.
Sometimes everything they're thinking about with investing in a business is when you tell people at a party, what do you do? I mean, that's a great question. People don't want
it
to
be a great question.
By saying
and if,
what
if
they
you really
do,
think
a,
about it,
yeah.
You know, I would say, you know, the common denominator with people when you have a discussion is what do you do for a living? And when I tell people I'm self-employed, it doesn't matter what I do. I think they're impressed with the fact that I own my own business. So I think business ownership in itself brings a certain level of prestige because there's so many people out there that I think would want to own a business, but they don't have the courage to do it. So they admire somebody that does.
There's a pretty popular, fast-growing franchise that involves, it's pet waste removal.
Right, it's a
big
business.
When I saw it, I'm like, do I want to tell people that I do that for a living? And, you know, I thought about that when I saw that type of franchise that, you know, a lot of people are pet owners, and that's the type of service that's needed.
Right.
I guess it takes a special type of person to.
and they're making a lot of money doing it.
Exactly. Right.
If you can put the status issue aside.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, to kind of summarize what we've spoken about, you know, all these different characteristics are things that you really need to write down and think about and put on a piece of paper. And if you put it all down and you start figuring out your likes and your dislikes, what you...
I thought that was...
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Today, you're going to get to hear from a legend in franchising. It was about 6 months ago, Don and I were celebrating our one-year anniversary of doing the radio show, and we put a lot of thought as far as who we'd like to have for a guest that particular day. And Don and I both agree that that person should be George Native, and Mr. Native graciously accepted. For those of you who don't know George Native, he's tagged as the guru in franchising. He's also the founder of Boston Chicken. He had a lot of great quotes that show. This is just one of them where George gives his advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. Here we go.
Mr. Native, about the characteristics that make a successful no-fat franchisee.
Well, you know, I've always told people to play to their strengths. If you have a personality you know is not a charming one, don't get into the service business where you have to interact with people, because people business requires personality. So, you know, you're not asking someone to do something that's against their grain. So when looking for a franchise, a person should consider the things that they've succeeded in. For instance, if they've been a coach of a soccer team and they had to inspire the kids to run down that field and kick that ball and win, there's something about that individual that is inspiring. So he should look for something that maybe can be along those same lines, that he can use those talents of his. If he's been a teacher, he's been a person that's worked with his hands. In other words, always, always play to your strength. Don't go into something that's opposite of your personality. That will cause a little bit of a problem. Of course, most companies offer training, but, you know, if you put a glove on, it should fit neatly in between the fingers. It shouldn't be something that once you put the glove on, you can't bend your fingers. It's as simple as that. So when you're buying a franchise, it should fit.
And I guess no fat specifically, you have a checklist you go down that you want each franchisee to be, or sometimes it's just having a feeling of a certain person.
It's clearly a financial issue. They have to have, in our case, pretty close to the ability to finance something between $500,000 and $600,000. So if an individual can't do that, then maybe he should look for other franchises like a Subway or a Quiznos or other that are around the $200,000. So again, here we talk about fitting something that fits their pocketbook and not get into something that's way over their head and put themselves in financial jeopardy by starting in something that is too hard for them to overcome. So again, it should fit their wallet just like it should fit their personality.
Right, absolutely.
And you've, of course, been involved with so many franchisees with all your different businesses that you've done. Have there been times over the years that you sort of took a chance on someone that you weren't really sure, but you really liked them, and it's worked out? I'm sure you have a couple success stories.
There have been those cases. And again, there have been the opposite. And again, you learn by doing the thing. I would much prefer to tell a person that he's not qualified than qualified. And the rationale behind that, of course, is that I don't want to get somebody into something that he's not qualified for. There are so many franchise selections out there that if a person's doing their research, it allows them the opportunity to really, really take the time and investigate. And most of these companies already have franchises in place. They can pick up the phone and call up the franchisee and say, how you doing? What kind of work did you do before you bought this franchise? Tell me about why you chose it. Would you do it again? I mean, this is a great opportunity as opposed to starting something on your own where you don't know whether you'll ever get the first base. You know, franchising in the beginning is very much like a baseball game. If you can buy third base as opposed to getting to first base, and getting to first base by starting your own business, maybe you'll get the first base, but there's no guarantee. But if you can buy a franchise, you at least can get the third base. That's good baseball. And, you know, when you get the third base, your chances of getting home is a lot easier than being on first.
Wow, that's a great analogy, isn't it, Don?
Yeah, and it sounds like you're a Red Sox fan.
Thanks, everyone, again, for listening, and have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see everyone next week. Take care, everyone.